Welcome to the Promised Brand Podcast, where we are here telling the stories in and about brands doing amazing things. I'm your host, Luke Frazier, founder of Parable Brand, and this is a time where it is very exciting for brands because you have the opportunity, whether you are a VP level leader, you are an owner, founder, or even just a person within an employee within a company, you have the opportunity to manage and take your brand forward and faster by way of your culture. And I believe that this kind of content, these podcasts, are ways of which to get there. And so these are really exciting conversations. This is a continuing series highlighting companies for the people that make them up, for the actual lifeblood of the organization. And this continued series is working with a company out of Greenville, South Carolina called Ringo Fire. They are a digital agency transforming the way people, specifically in the DIY construction and home goods space, are doing things. And really, they're touching all industries, and you can learn something from them too. So I'm excited to share with you today partner and Senior Vice President of Sales, Marco Carrizales. All right, folks, we are excited here to get back into another episode of our series highlighting the brand Ringo Fire and Agency in Greenville, South Carolina, doing amazing work in the agency space and in a lot of other spaces, which we could potentially get into today. But I'm excited to continue this brand series with amazing employees of Ringo today, with Marco Carrizales. He is a partner and senior vice president of sales, and we are just really excited to have him here today with us. Marco, welcome to the Promise Brand, and we're just thanks for coming, man.
Of course, thank you for having myself and a few others.
We're
always excited to kind of talk our story and let people know kind of how we got here.
Yeah, and a wild story indeed. As far as recordings go, I think you're one of the last I've had, and my goodness, what a beautifully wild, eclectic group of people that make up this crazy thing called Ringo Fire, and it makes me more excited to talk to you today. Now, as far as I understand it, so you're one of the partners, you've been kind of here since the beginning, correct?
Yeah, I'd say probably about a year after Brian, my brother and I's business partner, actually founded the agency. Mm-hmm. My brother and I kind of had our own entrepreneurial ventures going on, and it was kind of a snowball effect. We actually started subleasing some office space from Brian and the early four or five other team members that they had, and mm-hmm. then it was like energy kind of pulled us together.
Yeah.
We started just not even officially working together, but mm-hmm. I can recall him asking, hey, throw on a sports coat, we're going up to pitch this company with us not even a part of the business. So we were both kind of building and had that mindset, and really didn't need much of an official thing going on to kind of support each other. So mm-hmm. but we've been here pretty much since the start, seen it all, been through it all. So.
When he was originally starting, what you said, kind of the energies match up, and there was excitement and a lot of crossover, some not crossover. Mm-hmm. What was your sort of perspective of what Ringo was turning into from the beginning?
From our perspective, I think it was a very cutting edge kind of really social media mm-hmm. agency. That's kind of how we started. We always tell people nowadays, like, we started as a social mm-hmm. media boutique. And from our perspective, they were working with a lot of, very cool local brands, mm-hmm. Whether it be apparel, mm-hmm. boutiques, service-based companies. But, from our perspective, it was kind of an interesting operation to just see that everything was in-house already.
Right.
That was definitely a priority for them. There wasn't much of an outsource mm-hmm. Pipeline that they had going on. So from our perspective, it was you know, it was a group of very young and hungry and, mm-hmm. and kind of most importantly, like scrappy individuals yeah. that were kind of just getting in and getting it done, mm-hmm. which I thought was cool. And that's kind of the way that, you know, my brother and I, as we, you know, got to Greenville and we're starting our own businesses, mm-hmm. the way that we met Brian was we started our own semi-professional soccer club in town. And
yeah.
I played soccer in college, a little bit of a stint professionally. And after that finished, I just met people through my network and started this club, but I didn't want to be really involved in the soccer aspect at all. I kind of wanted to move into more of a business, you know, oriented venture. And so I was running a lot of the operations, doing fundraising, mm-hmm. whether it was, you know, private fundraising or mm-hmm. through sponsorships. So the way that we kind of linked up with Brian and them was that, you know, they were an up and coming agency. We were this kind of hot new brand in town.
Yeah.
And, you know, we actually ended up kind of trading services. They were our agency mm-hmm. and they were helping us with some photography, some graphic design.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, we got a little bit of the flavor of who they were and what they were doing.
Yeah.
You know, and it was all bootstrapped, right? Like,
yeah.
you know, we acted much bigger than we were because we had to, and we wanted to put on this front. But at the end of the day, for the soccer club standpoint, it was just a 22-year-old guy and myself and then a, you know, 26-year-old and my brother. So
yeah,
I mean,
I love it.
But it was a similar story in Brian and his case, and so right. I think that's why the energies kind of pulled us together in the sense that, like, we were all branding oriented, we were all marketing, mm-hmm. we knew how to kind of grow that appetite for mm-hmm. something in a customer's eyes. And yeah, we were there late at the office. He was there late at the office. I remember several occasions we were ordering in kind of the cliche Chinese takeout, being in the boardroom, just kind of. Whether it was him working on a pitch or us working on kind of a new
right.
Marketing campaign or whatnot, you know, mm-hmm. Those were definitely fun days. Really, almost kind of found ourselves, you know, working with each other as opposed to, like I said, some sort of official, hey, you know, I want to make you this offer to come work for us kind of thing.
Right, right. Yeah, you know, it makes me so curious, kind of going from this. You know, I talked with Paul Tyson, who's, you know, yep. your senior social media strategist, who also has a background in competitive soccer. You're kind of coming yeah. from this competitive sports environment mm-hmm. and then translating that into the business world. And especially now, you know, seven years later, like mm-hmm. Ringo is now close to 50, 60 person team and you guys are growing.
Yep.
How have you seen that sports competitive nature drive really translate over to the business world, especially 7 years into it now? I mean, I think early in that startup phase, it's like, oh, it's so easy. Just we're right. running and gunning, we're going, we're hustling, we're building relationships, which obviously that really mattered. How yep. has that evolved now into the maturity of the business?
I thought it would come, you know, a little bit easier than it did, quite honestly. I mean, I think,
yeah.
well, I had to find a way to make it translate.
Yeah.
I thought that, you know, hey, I'm a competitive person, always been on very good teams, mm-hmm. kind of always had, you know, the best coaches, the best what have you. And
yeah.
then I think as anybody does as they graduate, not just from athletics, but just graduate in general, it's mm-hmm. it's kind of like finding themselves without that kind of person or somebody that's pushing you. And
right.
so for me, I kind of had to find it within myself or mm-hmm. find something that kind of had, you know, the same flavor. And mm-hmm. I kind of quickly rolled into, you know, starting something on my own, which seemed easy. But as we've gotten down the road with the agency, I mean, you know, I always go back to something my brother said. It's like, you know, oh, I mean, I was fundraising, I was raising capital. Mm-hmm. So you have to get very comfortable with the word no.
Yeah.
And kind of get past that and keep going, keep having the energy. And I think, you know, there gets a point where you start to realize, hey, maybe there's some hurdles that are a little bit more difficult to overcome, and the no's become a little bit more difficult. So I
yeah.
feel like it was easier for me to transition that at the start. I think mm-hmm. the past 2 years, the agency, we've taken kind of the step out of startup. We are taking the step out of teenager, getting mm-hmm. into midsize, and
yeah.
that's where I've kind of had to figure out a way to reinvent myself mm-hmm. to find that push. Mm-hmm. and that drive and to get to, because, you know, the no's become much more difficult,
sure.
the budgets get bigger, so
right.
it's like a big fish on the hook, and it's definitely more deflating mm-hmm. Nowadays, as opposed to when it was, you know, a smaller scale retainer that might be signing up, you know, that was great. We would celebrate it. We'd get excited. But I'd say, especially now in our space, when budgets are getting a little bit tighter, still large and still the largest we ever worked with.
Yeah.
You know, you spend I've spent 6 months on a deal and it not, you know, to have it not go through can be very deflating, but it's just like, man, you just got to go after the next. And so I've kind of had to figure out how to translate that into what I do nowadays. And honestly, I was having this conversation last night. I've kind of found that in ways outside of the office.
I think,
you know, not only myself, and I don't want to speak for Richard and Brian, but we've had to find ways to, I don't want to say disconnect, that's not the right word, but I think find ways that can continue to keep, you know, us motivated outside of just the agency, to continue to have that appetite. Like I said, I mean, at the end of the day, the issues, the problems, the tough decisions, you know, kind of they rise up to us, you know, for the most part. And so a lot of times it can be easy for business owners and whatnot to get, you know, too caught up in the negativity, the downsides, as opposed to celebrating the positives. So quite honestly, I've tried to find those outlets outside of the office to kind of get that flavor of like, I'm big into golf now, and I really hadn't big into golf. So I've gotten this like obsession with trying to go as low as possible and beat myself week over week. And it just kind of reintroduced that appetite of winning and, oh, I did really good. Here's what I didn't do well. Here's what I can improve on, which I would then take that back into the office the next week and just remember how to celebrate those victories, how to not get too down when something goes wrong.
Right. You know, when you start something, and I feel this from a founder's perspective, when you start something, it largely drives your identity. I think, you know, depending on who you are, can be very unhealthy. For some people it's healthy, and I don't know the balance in that. You know, when you start to have families or outside stuff or mental health, like you got to your point, there has to be some boundaries. Maybe that's the healthiest way of saying this. And so you went from young, out of college, entrepreneur, trying to figure out kind of identity and all of that, and now partnering with your brother and Brian and Ringo and the growth and all that. Obviously, there's, you said even in the past couple of years, it's been reframing that. How have you now, because Ringo has a ton of young and really, you know, age-wise, but also just youthful mindset, I think, you know, the age really doesn't even matter. How have you, having experienced that over the past, you know, 5-7 years with especially identity and work and passion outside of work and kind of managing all of that, how have you been able to help or see or even coach or mentor some of those up-and-coming people on the team who are still, they, you know, they're wrestling through that? I mean, I've talked about this with some other Ringo people. Ringo is a hustling company. Like that is true within the culture. But there's a lot of good relationships, a lot of good loyalty. It's not bad. I don't think it's bad, but everyone is aware of it. And so curious to see how you've gone through that now, bringing other people up.
Yeah, I think, you know, like I said, over the past 2-3 years, as we've grown, we've had to understand the weight and the responsibility of who we are and what we do and how we act. And I think, you know, for the first, 4 years, I mean, like you said, we were as hungry as can be. I mean, we're building, kind of doing anything at all costs to get something done and kind of grow the company, which I think it's kind of your typical founder or, you know, growing a startup kind of story, is that you get to a point where you have to realize, hey, I've got, you know, 40 people on the team now that are all, whether we see it or not, looking up to us in terms of the direction, the personality of the company, what we offer. You know, it was kind of interesting as well, because obviously with COVID and work from home after post-pandemic life, and how does that, you know, shape into who we are from a recruitment standpoint, but also a retention standpoint. So over the past like 3 years, I think, you know, we've had to really identify, like, it does start at the top. And I mean, COVID, I think anybody would say it was very difficult for us. There was definitely a period where we thought, man, we're going to have to shut down the doors. And that was very scary. But then the reverse happened, where given our agency being kind of you know, position within the home improvement industry. That was happening during, you know, shelter in place. People were doing their projects on their homes. So our industry, or, you know, the industry that we're in, took off. And it was like the biggest whiplash we've ever experienced from like, wow, we're going to have to shut this agency down that we've been working so hard on for the past 4 years, to like, wow, we've got to get into a new territory we've never experienced, which is managing 30 and 40 and now 50 and 60 people. So I say that all to say is that we've had to, like, you know, prioritize our mental, you know, health. Like I was just talking about, finding outlets outside of the day to day that really kind of, you know, they may, something like golf or cooking or whatever may not seem from the outside like it translates too much into our business life, but it really does, because I think it's helped us find outlets that continue to keep us engaged and motivated, so that we kind of always remember what that feeling feels like, so that we can bring it into the office space. But, you know, at the end of the day, like I was saying, we've had to reprioritize that so that it's not 7 days out of the week. It's not 6 days out of the week that we're working and we're, you know, keeping people, you know, updated, or even forgetting the term, but it's like secondhand burnout kind of thing. Like, we had to really get to a point where we had to realize that, hey, we don't want to cause that. So let's make sure that if we're talking about business, it's amongst us or maybe a special group of leadership that is, you know, acknowledging they're going into that type of role. But yeah, you know, that's kind of more or less, you know, what we've discovered is that it starts with us. So town halls, we make sure that we talk about prioritizing, you know, getting sunshine, getting out of the office at 5:35, whatever, if you need to leave half an hour early, just to make sure that you're okay. Because with any team, you know, if not everyone's firing on all cylinders, then, you know, you've got to spend, you know, an amount of energy kind of picking up you know, the lack thereof. And so, yeah, we've definitely had to do a lot of work on ourselves to not get out of the building mindset or the founder's mindset or whatever, but definitely for the team's sake, making sure that we kind of keep that in check so that everyone, you know, can clearly see the vision. They don't get bogged down in the potential, you know, the busyness and the hustle.
You know, I feel like we heard you kind of talking about this a little bit earlier in the startup portion of Ringo. But what has kind of the power of relationship, how has that been a factor now that the team has grown for you? What have relationships looked like? Where have you found power in relationships inside and outside of work?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think you see a lot about the power of relationships and how important they are and how crucial they are. And, you know, I think firsthand we've experienced that since we started the company. I mean, so many of our clients that we work with today, you know, whether we've been working with their brand for 4 or 5 years or them personally for 4 or 5 years, and they've gone to 2 or 3 companies, they've typically taken us with them. And it's not fake relationships. Like, the people that we work with, like, I think just the way that I am, the way that, you know, Brian is, and my brother, and, you know, some of our leadership, it's like, we just like to meet people. We like to deep dive into their stories and how they got there. I mean, especially nowadays when we're working with some, you know, Fortune 500 or Fortune 1000 companies, and, you know, talking to their VPs, I mean, they've been through a lot, or their CMOs, and they've been through a lot. So it really, it kind of fuels our personal fires a little bit to get to understand, like, even if they're at a corporate workplace, I mean, there's a lot of lessons that we can learn from them, and, you know, we can be transparent with them and like, hey, we're growing. We can offer you a lot. You know, we certainly, I mean, we'll go into pitch meetings and say, look, we're a full service agency, but we're not the best at everything. Here's our core competencies. And I think we can build a lot of trust in that. And so, it all boils down to that, not only in the new business sense, but also just interpersonally at the agency. I mean, if people aren't getting along, if, you know, we're seeing where there's kind of, you know, and it's not like if people are butting heads internally to get the right decision for the client, it's not like that's always a bad thing, as long as it's done the right way. And there's that understanding of, like, you know, I had coaches that would always say, like, in training, it's like, hey, once you step in between the lines, like, you guys are, you know, kind of put the friendship card, you know, on the sideline until you step off and there's an understanding that you're just doing it to better each other and ultimately get to where you're wanting to go. But, you know, we've built a very, or at least fostered a good environment that everyone's collaborative. Teamwork is just, like, extremely important, even down to as simple as, like, I mean, we get shipped countless products all the time, and some of them are mattresses and these big generators and these big lawnmowers, and they're not easy equipment for, you know, people to just haul around. So it's just, it's amazing to see how quickly people just hop in without it being asked to do it. It's simple stuff like that that I think translates, you know, and kind of it personifies the agency that it's just like kind of that scrappy mentality still of, hey, we're going to hop in, get our elbows dirty and just get something done, because we want not only our teammate to look good, but we want our client to look good in front of their boss or what have you, or look good in front of this retailer. So, you know, I think we try to exude that all the time and sniff out any scenarios where there may be some sort of, you know, issue internally that's going to build into something bigger. We want to stop that as quickly as we can.
And all for the sake of not only the betterment of the business, but betterment of individuals and the growth for them. And I think that that's been vitally important as I've talked to different people. That's the culture that has been, you know, nourished along the way.
And I mean, you know, especially when it comes to client relationships, like, we, half of our company is our account managers, right? And so their job is to get deadlines, you know, or things done on time, to bring the client some additional above and beyond, hey, here's some, you know, cool tidbits, or let's like this new campaign we can build on. But at the end of the day, like I mentioned earlier, it's trust. It's making sure that the client knows that you're truly invested in what they're trying to accomplish, because a lot of times, you know, I mentioned we work with these big companies, but sometimes our marketing teams are still 3, 4, two people big, and they're really dependent on this outside help while they work with us. And so as much as we can visit them in person or get them to the office, get them to dinner, go to basketball game or whatever, like, we try to do that, because you almost, you just break down that corporate wall, that barrier, that you really get to understand, like, what motivates this person, how can I further help these people. But, you know, it's not forced. That's just kind of the way that we are. And that's what we like to kind of talk to people about around the agency, is that that's at the, that core of it, the most important thing we've got going on.
I love it. As I've seen Ringo grow, not only do we have Ringo Fire, which really is the, this was the kind of core competency. This is what was started. But now, you know, you've got Campfire, you've got Hardware Huddle, you guys have your own line of products in the kind of that industrial hardware space. You're not just kind of growing as an agency, you're growing in other avenues. How have you sort of been a part of that growth, and how have you perceived that growth and experienced that growth with these new entities?
It all stemmed from, you know, the agency. I think we got to a point of comfortability within the growth of the agency that we knew it wasn't stopping. Well, you know, it's not always a guarantee, but we were on a good track to know that hey, consistently we're growing at this rate. And like I said, we've had to find different outlets outside of just the core agency that keep us inspired and motivated and teach us new things. And, you know, Campfire was kind of the first concept that we drew up. And it was really because of just the main agency got to a point where financially we couldn't support, you know, smaller businesses anymore. We couldn't work with these local boutiques and people that really helped us get to where we were at. They were still, you know, they were still calling us, they were still asking for services, and, you know, we'd send them a quote and it just wouldn't make sense because, you know, just for them, they're still bootstrapping it, they're growing. And so we toyed with the idea for like a year about, like, do we start a division within the company that's kind of specific to small business? Do we set it up as a separate agency? And we, I mean, I'm not kidding when we say we probably ideated on that for about, little less than a year.
Wow.
Before we just said, let's start it up as its own agency. Mm-hmm. It can lean on Ring of Fire at the beginning for, finances. We'll give it a loan to kind of get up and running, mm-hmm. but we wanted to treat it separately. We kind of came out the gates pretty hot with these packages that we thought small businesses would want. Hey, mm-hmm. here's three options. Pick what you want.
Yeah.
Pay on our site. Because at our stage, we deal with so many kind of extensive negotiations. You're sending them proposals. They're pulling it apart.
Right.
And we kind of wanted to eliminate that if possible. Mm-hmm. What we quickly found out was that, not that we were out of touch with it, but we had been so far removed from kind of that world in the mm-hmm. small business space that we didn't know what these companies were needing. And so, we started the agency Campfire. We quickly figured out the types of services that these companies would be interested in. Mm-hmm. We were pretty self-aware that we weren't going to have a ton of time to kind of, invest into it. And we mm-hmm. needed the right people to manage it, and people similarly minded to us that know that, hey, this is going to be kind of a grind. You're going to have to work, pretty hard for the first year, 2 years to kind of get up and running, but then it should self-sustain itself once you get a name in the space. And so, mm-hmm. That has given us a huge, I think, lift in our, being inspired, our energy levels, because like just this last month for Campfire specifically, I mean, they've gotten like 5 or 6 new retainer deals. People are starting to know who they are. They're starting to see their work. And quite honestly, like for us as an agency, it's a good opportunity, from the Ringo side, it's a good opportunity for us to test new things mm-hmm. in social media, in design, in, because the stakes aren't as high and, the business owners we're working with on the Campfire level, mm-hmm. they're very entrusting in us to kind of do what we do best. Mm-hmm. Whereas, on the flip side, the larger agency, it's almost become a little bit more difficult because mm-hmm. you're working with, these CMOs who've been in place for so long, and they really understand what works for their business. And so for us to come in and pitch all these kind of wild ideas and maybe we should do these things without the results, I mean, it's a little bit difficult. So, mm-hmm. Campfire for us has inspired us to not only, get back in touch with kind of the entrepreneurial scene, the, mm-hmm. the small business scene, which I think gives us a lot of inspiration mm-hmm. and energy. We've also been able to use it for, kind of a space to test new things, whether it be in the creative space or in the production space or in social media space. That's helped a lot.
That's awesome.
And then like anything with Hardware Huddle, you find these holes within the marketplace. And like I mentioned, with us being pretty ingrained in the home improvement space, mm-hmm. We're going to these different trade shows mm-hmm. That, I think the pandemic really shook those up. Obviously, they shut down for a couple years. Mm-hmm. They struggled with attendance coming back from these shows.
Right.
And originally, pre-pandemic, Hardware Huddle was supposed to be kind of this traveling media event, media and influencer mm-hmm. event. There were some shows out there that we would get hired by clients to throw them these kind of experiential events. So we'd book these big suites. We'd have their products around. Influencers and media would come through. They'd talk, mm-hmm. One-on-one FaceTime with the brand, talking about the products, posting a ton of content.
That's awesome.
And we were gearing up to have that kind of, like I said, be like a traveling roadshow. Mm-hmm. Trade show shut down. So what we did was we basically spun that into its own kind of media entity.
Yep.
That's a very well followed like TikTok page right now, mm-hmm. where it's kind of tools, tips and tricks, new innovation. And what we did was we just kind of decided we're going to throw it, a once a year annual event in Greenville mm-hmm. called Hardware Huddle, mm-hmm. which is basically influencers in the hardware home improvement space on our campus, talking directly with brands that have new products, new innovation. And the goal from our standpoint is just to be a facilitator, but also from the brand's perspective, mm-hmm. get this kind of massive awareness in a 24-hour physical period, but then mm-hmm. the content actually trickles out for 6 to 8 weeks after the show.
So cool.
And then from the brand's perspective, they've been trying to get in touch with these influencers for so long, and they're there right in front of them.
Right.
So
that's awesome.
It's intimate. It's like 35 influencers, 35 brands, but that's kind of the way we want to mm-hmm. keep it. And so that in itself was kind of birthed out of the agency, seeing a hole, filling it. Mm-hmm. Everyone is, you know, we were fortunate enough to have Lowe's Home Improvement kind of, you know, be a premier partner of the actual, mm-hmm. you know, show and the event itself this year. So just, you know, it's finding these new ways that we can constantly build. And I mean, we have to stop ourselves at times because we're always just texting back and forth in our group chat about yeah. like, why don't we start this company? Why don't we start that? It's like, well, that one sounds good. Maybe we should try it. Maybe we shouldn't start that other one right now, but let's earmark it. So
yeah. When you put a bunch of entrepreneurs in the room. Yeah. I love that. As we look to kind of, land this plane, for this conversation, I hate to do it on so many levels. There's so much we could talk about from Ringo and career and all these things, right. but what I love is the kind of the passion and the culture that is, kind of instilled in you and instilled within the Ringo world and Campfire and Hardware Huddle and all these other entities. And so it makes me curious, you know, one of the biggest kind of mottos of Ringo Fire right from the beginning was to be the unagency. Yep. And so I'm curious for you, one, how do you hope others see that? And what is it, mm-hmm. number two, what does it mean to you?
Right. It was kind of birthed like accidentally almost, where we used to use that a lot in early day pitches with mm-hmm. these larger companies. We'd kind of tell them, hey, you know, we kind of consider ourselves the unagency. Like, you know, it's funny because mm-hmm. like Brian nor myself nor my brother have ever worked at an agency.
Yeah.
Which I yeah. think, you know, which I mean, you know, not gonna lie, we've had people come in from larger agencies, these more kind of rigid mm-hmm. structured agencies, which works for them, into our mm-hmm. space. And it's like a learning curve because, you know, from what we hear, we don't do a lot of things like sure. other agencies may do. We've kind of created our own unique way of doing mm-hmm. things and proving success for our clients. And it took us a while to realize that kind of unagency term actually had a lot of weight within the company. And this was around the time that we mm-hmm. were, you know, we were kind of building our, you know, core values and putting them down on paper, distributing it to the team. And, you know, we went ahead and just put a big mural in the back of our office yeah. just as the unagency, kind of in our text and colors, because we want people to operate with that mindset. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, we've had to get smarter about it, yes, but I think at the end of the day, when it comes down to working with a new client, mm-hmm. I always say, you know, internally, it's if we just give them the opportunity to grade us by the boxes that we check,
yeah,
then we'll be very easy to get rid of. We'll be very easy to get rid of if we don't check a box for a month or a mm-hmm. quarter, and then it's like, hey, I'm paying you this amount, you're not fulfilling XYZ. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that's kind of that, like I mentioned, relationship side of things, where we do really truly like to go above and beyond, and we're not going to bill you an extra, you know, 200 or whatever hours, you know, mm-hmm. outside of the agreed upon scope mm-hmm. within reason, because at the end of the day, we know that if our clients are successful by the work that we've done, then yeah. we're only going to get and become more successful as an right. agency and land the next big deal,
right?
Because that's just the way that we've gotten here over the past 7 years. We've seen so many times a director of marketing at this company go and become a VP of marketing at this company
yeah.
and take us with them. And then we keep that other brand as well. And so, you know, that's to say, like, we point blank told the team, like, let us pull you back from being a little bit above and beyond, you know, the scope or the agreement. Like mm-hmm. we encourage people not to be afraid of, you know, being in the box of the contract and mm-hmm. getting outside of it, because once you limit yourself to that, then you're kind of limiting creativity, you're limiting yeah. possibilities, and that's not how we built this business, mm-hmm. not really how we intend on
yeah. you know,
continuing our growth. We plan on continuing that by doing those mm-hmm. additional things. It may be a little bit of a risk, but hey, we know it's going to work. We know it's going to work for them, and it's yeah. going to benefit us in the long run. So. Mm-hmm. It took us a while to really understand that the unagency term had a lot of weight for us.
Right.
We just kind of stuck with it, run with it.
I love it. I love it. And it yeah. continues to you know, make waves and ripples in the world, inside agency world, outside agency world. And I love to see it, you know, as we look at kind of this painting, this beautiful painting that you painted for us today, Marco, there's a lot of stories. There's a lot of intricacies in your own life and in Ringo and kind of the relationships that were there. And for me, you know, we're from a kind of a brand eight, just a brand strategy agency perspective, stories are the things that drive business forward.
Right.
They're foundational yep. to what we do and we believe in. And so on sort of a fun and light side, some of my favorite stories that I grew up with, I think, of the Disney movies. And I ask everybody this, and because it's fun and we connect with it and there's reasons for it. But when I mentioned, or when I had this in the forum, you had mentioned the Toy Story movie. Now, first of all, I have to clarify which number Toy Story movie.
Okay.
And why did you pick that as kind of your favorite Disney movie?
I'd probably just have to go with the original.
Yeah.
And I typed that in and submitted and was like, wait, is that Pixar? Is that Disney? And then I always get confused.
I really make people second guess things with these questionnaires.
Yeah. I got like, oh, shoot, I should have done my fact checking first. But
you are correct. I would say 94.
Yeah. Cool.
Maybe it was earlier.
I would say the first one, and I don't know. I think it's just a cool story. I think it's full of creativity. I mean, obviously, any of those movies are full of creativity, and you don't really understand that when you're younger. But then you go back and rewatch it,
yes.
and just the fact of mm-hmm. the toys coming to life when people aren't looking, and what they go through. And I don't know. I mean, it's kind of hard to and interesting to. It is kind of an tough question to kind of translate that into the real life, but I think it's just inspiring. I think just in general, the Disney Pixar kind of trajectory is very interesting to look at and full of creativity. Mm-hmm. I think that is something that for us, we never want to lose creativity. Mm-hmm. We want to always push the boundaries of creativity, even if the client's not asking for this additional campaign. It's like, hey, we just want to do that. And I think looking back at those early movies, in this particular Toy Story 1, I think just the fact that mm-hmm. it is such a creative concept of its time, it's mm-hmm. kind of inspiring in that sense.
I love it. There's a really good book, if people haven't read it, called Creativity Inc. And it's kind of Ed Catmull. He was the founder of Pixar, and then he got rejected by Disney, founded Pixar, and then ended up, they merged Disney and Pixar later on down the line. But talks a lot about how to implement that creativity in a work balance. And, and it, for anyone listening or even yourself, Marco, it's a phenomenal book that comes to mind as you're talking about it. But creativity is so big in all the work that we do inside agency, outside of agency.
Well, and it's, sorry not to cut you off, but I think, just it was either last week or the week before, I got connected with somebody in town who was a former CFO and president of a large, convenience store chain here in the region. And he looks at numbers all day, but I think it was interesting to hear him talk about how, yes, you look at numbers all day, but there's always a story that you can tell, even with it's within numbers, and there's always creativity and creative ways to, to increase revenue, profitability, whatever. And, I think for us, as we've had to become more sophisticated business owners and looking at spreadsheets and looking at numbers, there's always a story to tell, and there's always creativity in, these risks we'd be willing to take.
Yeah.
And it's not just in the marketing component of it all.
Right.
I mean, we've seen ourselves become very creative in the finance space, in these additional, media entity spaces. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, it's just finding it, looking for it, and realizing that it's there that I think is crucial. And that was kind of, made me realize through that conversation with him. It's like, there's creativity in anything.
Everything we do.
It's just making sure that you realize it and, especially for us as our problems have gotten, you know, I say problems, but again, it's all growing pains in them becoming more abundant. And like I said, higher stakes, larger budgets, bigger brands. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot more pressure to that. Mm-hmm. So, but at the end of the day, what we found, you know, continues to make us successful is we lean heavily on our kind of creativity and finding like, we've got this problem, we can't overcome it, we're not selling enough product, yada, yada, yada. Okay, well, here's this service that we think would really work for you guys. Give us 90 days, we'll show you. And then, yeah, we just kind of keep going from there.
True unagency mindset. I love it.
Yeah.
Marco Carrizales, you are a wealth of knowledge and hustle and grind in the Ringo Fire world and Campfire world and beyond. How can people get connected with you if they want to in the Greenville area and beyond?
Yeah, I'd say LinkedIn is a good sure bet to get a hold of me. Mm-hmm. I've definitely tried to, as I think I mentioned earlier, you know, I now run the sales team of one. So it's just kind of myself and, you know, along with my brother, he runs kind of our new business side. He's working on profitability estimates, quotes, but I've tried to do a little bit of work specifically kind of on the LinkedIn side to make sure that we're showcasing all that Ringo does. We've done so much and it's like, man, we're creating so much content every day. Yeah. We're not showcasing it enough. So I've tried to use my personal LinkedIn as an opportunity to show what we're doing. So that to say, I'm always kind of on it. I check it all the time. That's a good opportunity to get connected. So definitely search me up, connect, and I'm always happy to message back and forth, get on a call, whatever.
Love it. I love it. Yeah. Marco, thank you so much for your story and your time today, man. It is so valuable and needed, and we're just grateful for you.
Yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate you having us.